Today's daf is Moikotin Daf Vav, and we are 23 lines from the bottom of Daf Hey Amid Beis, U Beis HaPras Mi Metama Ba'oil. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema. For Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, Avadia Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmu Ben Tehila, Avram Ben Gittel Edel, Sara Nechama Bas Rus Malka, Refalkas Ben Fega, Baruch Ben Rachel, Chayim Malka Bas Batsheva, Chana Tova Bas Sara Risha, Meira Chava Bas Shoshana, and Devora Ita Bas Kela Bracha. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Harav Aryeh ben Harav David Yosef and Le'ilu Nishmas Doiv Berel ben Rabbi Yaakov David. So we're continuing to discuss Hilchas Chalom Moed, specifically the first Mishnah in Masechtas Moed Katan, which discusses two separate halachos related to the laws of Chalom Moed. The first part of the Mishnah mentioned that even though it's Aser generally to do malacha chalamayit, machloikis rishonim, whether it's in Issa d'Oraisa, in Issa d'Rabbanan, but there's no question it's aser. The Gemara Chagiga Yudches Amar Aleph brings three brises, five makaris, that you're not allowed to do malacha chalamayit. Stating that, the brisa also said, masran hakasav lechachamim, that the Torah gave the chachamim an unprecedented right, and that is to decide when it's aser to do malacha, and when it will actually be mutter to do malacha. So the Reisha of the Mishnah in Ma'ikat and the Beis Amar Aleph said that one of those times that the Chachamim chose that it should be mutter to do malacha is in the event that by not doing malacha, you're going to incur a financial loss. What we know as Dover Ha'ovet. It says the Mishnah, in the event that you need to do malacha to prevent a hefzed, which is defined as you're physically going to lose money, as opposed to simply not profiting, the halacha is, as long as it doesn't involve tirchi yaseira, you're allowed to do that malacha. The Sefer of the Mishnah discussed me'inyin le'inyin ba'oisa inyin, another time that the Chachamim chose in their infinite wisdom for it to be okay to do malacha on chalamayit, and that is if it's tzarchei rabim. The Mishnah said, kol tzarchei rabim. One is allowed to do on Chalom Moed, and then the Mishnah gave examples. Now, one of the examples that the Mishnah gave was umetzainen es hakfaros, that people would go out and they would put matzevos on top of kfaros. Now, when we think of a matzeva and a kever, we think of the contemporary custom of hakamas matzeva, but that's not what the Mishnah is referring to. The Mishnah is discussing something even more simple. Of course, hakamas matzeva has a tremendous makar, avoloi al ze anudanen. We're discussing something more basic that's really not so relevant today, but was once upon a time very relevant, and that is, it was once common for people to bury mason in a field, maybe on the side of the road, and it was very important, it was critical, for there to be some way for the people that were passing by to know that Shom Nitman, that there's somebody buried over there. Why? If you're a Kohen, you're not allowed to come in close contact to a mason. If you're a Nazir, which once upon a time was not as loishchiach as it is today, you can't come in close contact with a mace. If somebody's carrying truma or tyrus, you have to make sure that it doesn't come in close contact to a mace. And it's for that reason, there's a halacha that says that if there's a mace buried, there has to be a tzion. There has to be some way to know that there's a mace buried there. Now, when we think of Akamas Matzeva today, so there's a big Matzeva, and you have the name of the nifter, and divrei shvach v'hoida. That's not what this tzion necessarily was. It could have been that, but it didn't have to be that. Very often, all it was a rock that maybe would say on it, poi nitman, mace, or not even that, they would sometimes smear a little bit of sid, a little bit of lime, and that was just a simon. It was a way to know that there was a mace there. As long as you know that there's a mace there, you don't need any more information than that. That in and of itself will fulfill this basic obligation of being mitzayin kfar. Now, what is this obligation of being mitzayin kfar? So the Gemara Daf Hei Amud Aleph brought no less than nine makaris, nine sources, different amayram, that said, minayin, how do you know that tzayin kfar is minatayin? It sounds like it's a chiv d'iraisa, a mitzvah, it's something that one is obligated to do. The purpose of it is just to prevent people from coming into close contact with Tumah. The Gemara on the top of Daf Hei Amud Beis brought a braisa that said a whole Shulchan Aruch of when exactly you have to be mitzayin, a mace, and different halachas of how exactly you're supposed to do it. The first halacha that the braisa said was that the only time you're obligated to put a tzion where there's a mace buried is if there's enough mace there that it would be metama b'oil. So we know mace is metama b'oil. However, not every object that has tumas mace is metama b'oil. So for example, if there's a fragment of a corpse, lo yaleinu, assuming it's not of a certain size, it's possible it'd be metame b'maga or b'masa, but it wouldn't be metame b'oil. So the first halacha that the Braisa said is there would have to be enough tumah vir that it has the ability to be metame tumas meis. And the reason is pashat, because the concern is not that a person is going to physically touch the meis if he doesn't know that there's a meis buried underground. The concern is he's going to walk over it. So the concern is really tumas oil, or maybe he'll be underneath a branch where there's a mace that's buried underneath the branch as well. So the whole concern is a tumas oil dig concern, and therefore it's only applicable in the event that there's enough mace where there's a concern that there would be tumas oil. Another thing that the Braisa said, also very simple, is the only time you have to make a tzion is if you don't know that there's a mace there. So ironically, and maybe counterintuitively, in a cemetery you don't have to put matzevas because everyone knows it's a cemetery. So what do you have to put matzevas there for? It's nageya, a field, a place where you wouldn't necessarily know that there's a mace. So it's there that you would have to do it. The lashon of the Braisa was that you're mitzayin al hasveikos, but you're not mitzayin al avadois. So if there's a suffix, there's reason to think maybe, but at the very least, there's a mace there and you don't know for sure that there's a mace there, that's when there's a halacha of making this tzion. However, if you know for sure there's a mace there, it's not negay. Another halacha the Braisa said was, is that when you put the tzion, don't put it too close to the mace. I mean, don't do it in a way where by the time you bump into the tzion, you'll already have been mahil on the mace and you're already going to be tummy. So you have to make sure that the tzion serves its purpose, which is it gives you a heads up. So like this, you're not going to get too close to it so that you'll prevent whatever tumma we're trying to prevent from happening. Another thing the Braisa said was, is that when you put the tzion, don't put it too far from the mace either. Meaning, you don't want it to be too close, because then you're going to be a day late and a dollar short, but you also don't want to make it too far. Why not? Shaloi lahafsidus Eretz Yisrael. So it sounds like in Chutz Eretz you could do it, but in Eretz Yisrael, not. Because shaloi lahafsidus Eretz Yisrael, we have this kind of kepeda. Either way, the Gemara explained this Braisa, so, and the Gemara specifically was explaining the idea that the only time you make a tzion is al hasfekos. Now, the Braisa itself gave three examples of what sveikos are. The Elohim are sveikos. Schachos, upra'os, ubeis hapras. The Gemara explained what schachos are already. The Gemara explained what pra'os are already. That was yesterday's daf. We're now up to the third example that the Braisa gave for what we would consider sveikos, and that is beis hapras. Now, the concept of beis hapras comes up in many places in Shas. If you look in the Maseres HaShas, there's a whole list of tziyunim, pun intended, where you find this idea of a beis hapras. Now, the traditional definition of a beis hapras is a field where once upon a time somebody was buried. Like we said, that was not uncommon. There was a person buried in the field, but b'meshach hazman, the owner or somebody else took a plow and he plowed over the field. He wasn't supposed to do that, but that's what happened. And because this field was plowed over, we're now concerned that maybe there's a pras, there's a fragment of this mace lying around somewhere in the field. You don't know where in the field it is, but it might be somewhere. Chazal said that a beis hapras is a place that's becheskas tumah. And as a result, a koyin is not allowed to walk in a beis hapras. Now, because it's only a chshash, therefore, the chachamim were mekel when it comes to a beis hapras, and that's why you find different kulas. But the point is, that is the general concept of a beis hapras. It's a sode shenechrash ba kever. It's a field where a kever was plowed over. We're going to see in the Gemara that we're about to learn that that's an oversimplification of the definition of beis hapras. And the truth is, there are three different types of beis hapras. It's actually a Lashon HaMishnah in the 18th parak of Masechtes Aholos, Shloisha Beis HaPrasein. This is only one of them. There are another two, and it's going to be Nageya, Pashup Shan, and the Gemara that we're about to learn. So the Gemara starts, Ubeis HaPras Mi Matame Ba'ayil. We're assuming if you have to put a tzion in a beis hapras, that's an example of one of the sfeikos that the Braisa mentioned, where you have to be metzayin the kvarim, that clearly implies that a beis hapras is a place that not only is tameh, but it's metame b'oil. You can't even walk in it because of tumas oil. How do you know that? Because the only time you have to be metzayin is if there's tumah, that will be metame b'oil. So just from the Braisa, elementary, back of the envelope arithmetic, it's clearly implied that a beis hapras is metame even ba'oil. Frank the Gemara, is that true? I'm Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of his great Rabbi Shmuel, Menafeyach Odom Beis HaPras V'Hoylech, if a person wants to walk through a Beis HaPras, he's a Kayin. So cemetery you can't walk through, but a Beis HaPras he could walk through. Here's the Eitzah. What you should do is he should blow. So just like literally get down on your knees, start blowing, and as long as you blow the area around you, I mean, it's not a very typical way to walk through a field, but it works. And at the end of the day, this is something that you would be able to do. What's the svara for it? The svara is because the whole chashash Beis HaPras is that there may be fragments around, and therefore, if you blow the area around you, so we assume that any fragments that you may come in contact with are going to go away. You won't have to worry about it. Now, if there's a halacha that Beis HaPras is matama ba'oil, so now you have to be worried about what might be on the ground. Now you can't walk through the field. The Teretz says, we're only worried that there might be some fragments around you, and as a result, there's a kula of minafei chadam Beis HaPras v'hoilich. Rabbi Yudabar Ami, Mishmei de'ula Amar, Rabbi Yudabar Ami, the name of Ula, said something similar. He said, Beis HaPras shenid ishtar. Once people walk through a Beis HaPras, at that point, it's going to be tar. Again, because the concern is that maybe these fragments are just lying around, and once a lot of people walk through it, we assume it was kicked away, and at that point, you don't have to worry about it anymore. But the point is, you see from this halacha that Beis HaPras is a chashash maga. It's not a chashash oil. Because if there was tumas oil, then this wouldn't help. It's afraid the Gemara. So why are you even putting a tzion in a Beis HaPras if the only time you have to put a tzion is with this tumah that would be metamah b'oil? Amar Rapapa. Rapapa said, loy kasha. You have to say it's not true. Kam besada sh'avad b'kever. Kam besada sh'nechrash b'kever. There are two types of Beis HaPrases. There's a Beis HaPras where the kever was plowed over, and then there's a Beis HaPras where the kever wasn't plowed over, but where the kever got lost. A soda shenechrash b'kever, you don't have to worry about tumas oil anymore. And that's where the halacha is, that minafeach adam Beis HaPras v'hoilech. A soda she'ovad b'kever, meaning it was never plowed over. You just know somewhere in this large field is a kever. You don't know where it is. Okay, wherever that kever is, it's metamah b'oil. It wasn't plowed over. Nothing happened to it that would say that now it shouldn't be metamah b'oil anymore. And over there, that type of Beis HaPras is the Beis HaPras that the Braisa was referring to. Because that type of Beis HaPras is metamah b'oil. It's a suffix only. And that's why you would have to make it tzion. So the Gemara says, v'sada. And the Vilna Gaon changes the girsa. She'ovad b'kever Beis HaPras karile. Is that true? V'sada? She'ovad b'kever is called a Beis HaPras. I thought that's not what a Beis HaPras is. I always thought the definition of a Beis HaPras says the Gemara is Sada Shenechresh Bakever. Gemara says, no, in. Even if it was Ava Bakever, it's called a Beis HaPras. Vatanan, it's a Mishnah. Shloisha Beis HaPras, and there's three types of Beis HaPras. Sada Shenever Bakever, Sada Shenechresh Bakever, and here's the third one, Vistei Boichen. A field where people cry. My state boichen. What's a field where people cry? Rabbi Shua bar Abba Mishmei Ula Amr. Rabbi Shua bar Abba said in the name of Ula, Sada Shemaftirim Ba Mason. It's the field where they used to say goodbye to the mason. So Rashi says that sometimes a mace would be brought from one location to another location to be buried. So at some point, they had to transfer the mace from the first group of people that were involved in the mace to the other group of people that were involved in the mace. So they had this meeting place. It was a field. And that's where the schayra was passed over from the first group to the second group. That field, there was a lot of crying and b'chias going on, and it was known as a stei boichen. A stei boichen, that field, that whole field, even if no one was ever buried there. But that field has a din of a Beis HaPras. What's the reason for it? V'taim amai, Amar Avimi, Avimi said, Mishum Yiyush Bailim Naguba. It's because of Yiyush Bailim. Now, usually when you think of Yiyush, you think of Elo Metzias, you think of Perek Meruba, right? Yiyush when it comes to an Aveda, Yiyush when it comes to Geneva and Gzela. So what does Yiyush Bailim mean here? So Sokt Rashi, Mishum Yiyush Bailim, the third wide line. Lefi Shehivim Mimakim Rachoik, Nedaldol Ever V'Nafal Sham. See, this mace was just transferred from one place to another place. And there's a possibility that maybe one of the Ivarim of the mace fell off and it got stuck there. Okay. V'nisyashu Elu Alelu V'nichu Sham. So, what do you mean? If Aver fell, won't somebody pick it up? Yeah, as long as there's one group that's in charge of this mace, that group is going to make sure they take care of it. But once there's two groups, each person's going to assume the other one's going to do it, and it's going to end up getting stuck here. So over the years, we've mentioned different places where you find this idea of a k'deira de beishutfi loy chamimi v'loy kariri. The Makar is Gemara Neirav and Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, but it really comes up in a whole bunch of different places. Like, for example, the Chinuch says in Sefer HaChinuch that a Kohen had to do his job in the Beis HaMikdash, the Levi had to do his job in the Beis HaMikdash. A Kohen's not allowed to do a Levi's job, and a Levi's not allowed to do a Kohen's job. Right? Just like a Levi can't do what a Kohen does, a Levi's a czar, klapia. avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. A kohen is a zar klapi the Levi's job. Zar means you're a friend. It's not your job. So why? Why does a kohen do kohen, Levi do Levi? Zok techinuch, because k'teri the Beis Shutvi, loy chamimi, v'loy kariri, because then the kehan will rely on the Levim, the Levim will rely on the kehan. This is an idea that appears in many different places. This is an interesting one. Tucked away, the stay boichin is a field that we're concerned they may be a varm of a mace. Why? Because if it fell off, it could be it wasn't taken care of. Why not? Why won't it be taken care of? Because there's two groups here. This is where it's being transferred from group A to group B. Each one's going to point to the other one. The bottom line is that's the third type of Beis HaPras. It's what's known as a stay boichin. But what's the bottom line? The bottom line is we just said that the Braisa that says that you have to be Metzai in a Beis HaPras is talking about a specific type of Beis HaPras. It's talking about the Beis HaPras that was a sodesh sheovad by kever. However, the sodesh shenechrash by kever, the one where the kever was plowed over, being that it's not metama ba'oil anymore. So for that reason, based on the principles of the Braisa, you would not have to be mitzayin. Freit the gemara. Sodesh shenechrash by kever la'boyitzin, is that true? A sodesh that was plowed over, you don't have to be mitzayin. But tiny bringing to the Braisa. Matzah sodesh mitzuyenes. If somebody sees a field and it's mitzuyenes, he sees that the field has a tzion. So he knows that this field is a Beis HaPras. I mean, it's not a cemetery. It's a field, and the field has a big tzion. Okay, so obviously this is a Beis HaPras. That's what it is. And he doesn't, however, know mativa. He's trying to figure out what kind of Beis HaPras is it. Is it a soda sheh avad bokever? Or is it a soda sheh nechrash bokever? My nafkim, you know? Soda sheh avad bokever is metama ba'oil. A soda sheh nechrash bokever is not metama ba'oil. Soda sheh avad bokever is mochamer. If it's nechrash bokever, you could be menafeach adam v'haylech. There's a way to walk through it by blowing in front of you. A soda sheh avad bokever is a regular problem. Soda sheh nechrash bokever, you have the other kula, beis hapras sheh nidash tahar. So he's trying to figure out, what kind of Beis HaPras is it? Avad bokever or nechrash bokever? So says the Gemara, yesh ba yulanois, if you see trees, biyaduah shenechrash bokever. Must be, it's a sadash shenechrash bokever. Why? How'd the trees get there? Somebody obviously worked the field. So at some point it was plowed over. So if you see trees, you know it's a sadash shenechrash bokever. Ain't ba yulanois, if you don't see trees, biyaduah shavad bokever. Must be, it's a sadash shavad bokever. Rabbi Yehuda said, achi hecham zogin etam. No, you can't rely on trees. You want to know what kind of sad it is? You want to be makel and tell me it's a sadash shenechrash. You can't rely on the fact that there's trees. Rather, if there's a Zokain, an Altera Yid, or a Talmud Chacham, if he tells you what happened, then you could trust him. Because otherwise, not everyone's Bucky, so that you can't rely on Umdana, and even you can't rely on people. If there's a Zokain or a Talmud, him you can rely on. But other than that, you can't. But what's the Kasha? The Kasha is that if you're going to tell me the only time you have to put a Tzion, the only time you have to put on this proverbial matzeva is if it's a sadash sheh avad bokever. But a sadash sheh nechrash bokever, you don't have to. So what's the shayla over here? What's ton shaylas rav? You see a field, there's a tzion, you know it's a sadash sheh avad bokever. There's a havamini, you could be mekel because you see trees. I hear you want to know what pshat in the trees. But the bottom line is, it's for sure a sadash sheh avad bokever. Because if it was a sadash sheh nechrash bokever in halacha, then you wouldn't have the trees. I'm Rapapas. Rapapas said a pashta teretz. He said the kashas a tois. He said, kita. Or some have the girsa vitzainuha. And afterwards they were mitzayin. Yesh ba yulanis biyadua shenachash bakever. In ba yulanis biyadua shavad bakever. Meaning, it could be this field originally for sure was a sada shavad bakever. So what's the havamin? You should be able to be makel because of the fact that there are trees, and treat it like a sadash nechash bakever, because we're going to assume if this trees after it was a sadash avad bakever, it must have became a sadash nechash bakever. They must have plowed through it, and for that reason, it's going to be mutter. So you're right. La'olam, if you have a field that was nechash bakever lekatchila, you don't have to be mitzai in such a field. It's not necessary. But Hachab and Mayaskin and the Bryce is talking about where maybe what we don't know what happened, but there is a possibility that it was a Sada Sheh Avad Bokever, and then afterwards it was plowed over. And therefore you could be Mekel. Again, what's the Kasha? If there's a Tzion, then for sure it's not Nechrash Bokever. That it's true. It just means that for sure at one point there wasn't a Nechrash Bokever. But doesn't mean that subsequently it wasn't Nechrash Bokever. And the fact that right now you see trees, that's an umdina gedoilo, that it was probably a Nechrash Bokever. And that's what the Braisa means, that if you see trees, that biyaduah Nechrash Bokever, it's going to be mutter, says the Gemara. V'leichosh, but I still have a problem. Dilma ilonis megavoy, v'kever mi baroy. You're telling me that a sada Nechrash Bokever, really you don't have to put a matzev. Okay. You pass a field, you see a tzion, You know for sure this was a sadasha of Ad Bakever. Now, it could be later, it was plowed over. Hey, you don't know that, right? That's what we're trying to figure out. But here's the question. The question is, why don't we assume that even if it was plowed over, maybe what was plowed over was the inside of the field, but at the same time, on the outskirts of the field, it's still that's where the mace was, and as a result, it still should be a sadash of Ad Bakever. How is the fact that there are trees there a checkmate raya that it's Nechrash Bakever, and thus it has the kulois of a Nechrash Bakever? Maybe where the trees are, but maybe the area around it, not. So that, Freit the Gemara, you could be Mekel because you see trees? I mean, the visual is it's a big field. So there's trees in the middle of the field. That means that the whole thing was plowed over? Maybe you're right. Where the trees are, it was plowed over. Maybe the mace wasn't where the trees are. And as a result, you still have to be machmer, like a sada sha'avad bakever. So the Gemara says, Kedamar Ula. Ula once said something related to a different question. He said, quote, ba'imdan ala gvulin. He made an akimta regarding a halacha that it's talking about where the trees were literally on the gvul. They were on the boundary. Hachanami ba'imdan ala gvulin. It's talking about where the trees were on the boundary. Meaning, there's no room between the Rishus HaRabim and where the trees are. They're literally on the gvul of the Rishus HaRabim. So the mace is for sure buried, not in the Rishus HaRabim, inside the field. The whole outer part of the field has trees. So as a result, it's clear that if there was once a mace there, which it seems like there was, because you see the tzion, then it must be it was Nechrashba. But the Gemara says, Freit the Gemara, okay, maybe the trees are on the outside. It was the outside that was plowed over. Maybe the tumah is inside. And for the Gemara, it's talking about where the trees are on the outside and they're on the inside. I mean, the whole area is filled with trees. And as a result, if there was a kever here somewhere, it was for sure plowed over. Or you could say, we said earlier, one of the halachas that the Braisa said on the top of Ahmed Beis, is that when you put up the sin, you don't put it too far from the mace. Shaloi lahafsid is Eretz Yisrael. So what are you going to tell me? That there's a tzion, then you have trees, and then, 100 feet inside, that's where the mace is? You would never put the tzion so far away. So being that the tzion is on the outside, and then there's trees, it must be the mace was somewhere around where the trees are, so for sure it was Nechrash Bakever, and it's for that reason you could be Mekel. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm going back to Rabbi Yehuda. So what did Rabbi Yehuda say? Again, you pass a field, you see there's a tzion, you're trying to figure out, you know it's a base of pras, but is it a sadash and Nechrash Bakever, or is it a sadash avad Bakever, right? That's what you're trying to figure out. So Rabbi Yehuda said that if there's a zokin or a talmud, go ask him. I mean, the zokin, the talmud, you can trust, but nobody else. Amar Abaya, said, Shma Mina, you see from here, Tsurba Mirabanan, the Ik of the Masa, Komili de Masa, Alea Rami. This is another Abaya, where Abaya is talking about a Tsurba Mirabanan, a Yeshiva Bacher. So he says, you see from here, Tsurba Mirabanan has to be aware of a Stutzach and Stadt. Meaning, because at the end of the day, he has a keen eye. He's a lamdin. Not just that, he understands the sensitivity of halacha. So he appreciates the difference between a beis hapras and a regular field. Within beis hapras, a sadash avad ba, a sadash nechrash ba. So therefore, the tzur rabbanon, he's passionate about these types of things. He's the person that you should go ahead and you should discuss this with. Zakti gemar mur. Halacha is related, and this is clearly a very strong digression from the laws of Chol HaMoed, but more about being Mitzayin Kfars. Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, Matzah Evan Mitzuyenes. If somebody finds an Evan Mitzuyenes, you see a big stone, and the stone has some tzion on it. There's a little bit of lime. There's something on it. Clearly, somebody was trying to tell you, V'tami tami yikra, that there's tumah underneath here. So, okay, so where's the tumah? You don't see it, right? Again, you're not in a cemetery. You just see a big stone, and there's a mark on it. So this is clearly a tzion. There's a mace here. The question is, where exactly is it? So here's the halacha. Rabbi Yehuda said, if you see an Evan Mitzuyenes, tachteo tome. The area directly underneath it is where the tome is. Shtayim. If you see two such stones, so then im yesh sid beineim, if there's also sid, you have lime, that's the marker here, in between the two kvarim, beineim tome. Then not only underneath it is tame, but in between it's tame as well. If it ain't sin beinayim, but if there's no sin in between it, then beinayim tar. Then underneath the rocks are going to be tame, but between the rocks are going to be tar. So again, you have two rocks that are side by side. You have a little bit of space in between. So each one has a little sit on it. Underneath each one is going to be tame, but the area in between them is going to be tar. So the Gemara says that's true. The area in between is tar, just because there's no sid. And even if there's no sign of somebody having plowed through that area, Okay, Vatanya, we learned in a braisa, Motz Evan Achas Mitzvienes. If somebody found one stone and there's a tzion on the stone, Tachtea, Tommy, the iri underneath the stump, Shtayim. If somebody finds two stones that are Mitzvienes, then the halach is, Im Yesh Chayrish Beinem. If it looks like somebody plowed through it, Beinem Tar. Then the iri underneath the two stones are going to be Tommy, but the iri between it is going to be Tar. Bim Lav, and if it doesn't look like it was plowed through, Beinem Tommy, it's going to be Tommy. So Rav Yehuda and Amayra blatantly contradicted a braisa. Can't do that. Amar Rapapa said, no, the braisa is talking about a different, a different case than Rav was talking about. The case of the Brice is where the Sid was in the ground. It was on the ground in between them. Rabbi Yehuda is talking about where the Sid on one rock, Sid on another rock, in between, perfectly clean, spotless, immaculate. Oh, in that case, says Rabbi Yehuda, I don't have to worry that there's anything in between. The Brice is talking about where there was Sid in between. Now you're going to ask me, so if there's Brice, if there's Sid in between, so of course it's a problem. What's the Havim? You know? No, this is what the Brice is saying. If it looks like somebody plowed through it, then Beinayim Tar. We assume the area between it is Tar. The Emer Machmas Chayrish Hu De'iklaf. Because we assume that maybe when the plow went through between these two rocks, it scraped off a little bit of Sid from the two rocks and knocked it to the ground, and we assume that's probably where it came from, right? Here there's a rock, there there's a rock. In the middle there's no rock, so it's already mashma, there's no mace there, but there's a little sid. Oh, but it also looks like somebody plowed through it. So probably it came from the plow, you're allowed to be mekel, you don't have to worry about it. However, if you lie, but if not, if you don't see any signs of a plow going through it, then sid the beni beni, then you do have sid there. So of course, Vatama, you have no basis to be metar. So Rav Yehuda's talking about where there was no sid. The Brice is talking about where there was sid. Afal pikein and miyesh chayrish, the halach is to be mekel. Amar Rav Asi, one more halacha related to this. Matzam meitzerech on mitzui. Somebody passes a field. The field is surrounded by fences, like fields often are, on all four sides. If one of the meitzarim, right, one of the sides is mitzuyin, hu tame. We assume that the area underneath it is tame, v'chalas adekulu tayir, but everything else is tar. Meaning the tumah must be underneath this meitzah. Shnayim, let's say two of the meitzarim have this sign on it, this tzion, heim tmeim, the area underneath both of them at the rest of the field starts. Shloisha, three, same thing. Heim tmeim. Arba. Let's say all four have toma. Heim tahirim. Then we assume that the mitzarim are actually tahar. And really, it's the field that's tameh. So if you have it on all four sides, we assume the tumah is not underneath it. That's already a sign that the whole field is tameh. And then the Gemara just ends a little cryptically, the Amar Mar, because we learned earlier, this was one of the halachas we had in the Brayis on Hey Amid Beis, Ein Marchik and Tzia Mimakim Tumah, Shloi Lahafsid Es Eretz Yisrael. They now let it be Marchik, the Makim Tumah, Shloi Lahafsid Es Eretz Yisrael. There's a shayla over here on the page, what exactly this means. Rashi in the Ksav Yad says that this is coming to Fa'enfer, that because you have Tumah on the four sides, that means the whole field is Tumah. So the whole field is Tumah. Maybe the Tumah is 100 feet in. Maybe it's 200 feet in. The Teretz is, because Ein Marchik and Tzia Mimakim Tumah. You're not supposed to be Marchik it. So if it's on the Mitzarim, it must be the Tumah is right there. And not just that, must be it's everywhere. Because again, we're sensitive not to knock off too much of an area. So it must be the whole field is Tameh. And that's why that is what we assume. So just to exhale for a second. And going back to the Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah is talking about, we're in the Sefer of the Mishnah. The Sefer of the Mishnah is discussing that even though you're not allowed to do Malach and Chalamoy, they write it, they're Rabbanim, Psukim, Asmachtas. But at the same time, there are times you are allowed to. Specifically, the Yoisin called Sarchei Rabim. Sarchei Rabim is something that you're allowed to do. The Mishnah gave a few examples. The last example that the Mishnah gave was v'yoytzen afala kalayim. You're allowed to go out to uproot kalayim. Now, that's pashut. If we're talking about going out and uprooting kalayim, we're talking about Chol HaMoed Pesach. Because that's the time of year that things started to grow. And as we'll see in a moment, there was actually a very organized effort by Beis Din to go out to the fields to make sure that the Olam was behaving. And they weren't doing something they weren't supposed to do. There was like a whole vad of kalayim whose job it was to go from field to field to make sure that people weren't planting kalayim. And again, this is Pesach time, so we know we're talking presumably about Chol HaMoed Pesach, Abim Mefurish in the Gemara, as opposed to Chol HaMoed Sukkos. But again, the Mishnah said, V'yoytzin afala kalayim, says the Gemara, is that true? Val kalayim b'choyloi shalmoy nafkinan. They used to go out on Chol HaMoed, V'raminu, I'll ask you Akasha. This is like a whole stira from the first Mishnah of Mesechta Shkolim, Shkolim Perik Aleph Mishnah Aleph. Be'echot ba'adar mashmien ala Shkolim. Rosh Chodesh Adar, they used to make an announcement that everybody should start gathering their machzas hashekel. V'ala kalayim, they'd also make an announcement, look out for kalayim. B'chamish also by the 15th day of Adar, Kairnas HaMegillah B'krakim. Number one, they would read the Megillah. If you lived in a city that was walled from the times of Yishuv, and they would go out to start removing thorns from the roads, ulasakin arachayvais, to fix the paths, v'lomad amikvais, to measure the mikvais from over the winter, v'aisin kol tzarchei rabim, they would do all tzarchei rabim. And the Mishnah continues, umitzayin es hakvarais, they would be mitzayin the kvaris, v'yoytzin ala kelayim, and they would go out for kelayim. So what's the kasha? It sounds like they did it on Tezvav Adar, not Chol HaMoed. So why are we talking about doing it on Chol HaMoed? Sounds like this was done in a very regimented, official way, and the time that it was done was Tezvav Adar. So here we have a Mishnah in Shkolim that they did it on Tezvav Adar, on Shushan Purim. And here we have a Mishnah in Moikon that says they did it on Chol HaMoed. Probably Pesach, but still, is it on Tezvav Adar, or is it on Chol HaMoed? That's the Gemara's Kasha. So the Gemara says, there were two Amayram that answered this question. They both said a Teretz. We don't know who said what. Rabbi Lazar, for Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. Chadama once said, Kan bebacher, kan be'afel. Tezvav Adar was the first time they would go out. But then they were only able to chap the kalayim that grew a little earlier. Bachar, Yiloshim Bachar, it grew a little earlier. Bakira, it's from the earlier ones. Kan ba'afel, then they would go out a second time. On Chol HaMoed, to take the afela, that's already later in the day, the afel, what comes later, and that's when they would go, that's the two zmanim that they would go. They would go on Tezvav Adar to get the earlier crops, to make sure there's no kalayim, and to rip it out if there is, and then they would go out again on Chol HaMoed to take out the ones that grow a little bit later. B'chadam, the other one said, kan bizram, kan b'yirok, is the zraim, just regular seeds and plants grow a little bit sooner. Yirokas are vegetables, they grow a little bit later. So again, there were two zmanim. Either the two zmanim is for the bachar and the afel within the same crops, or the two zmanim are for two different crops, zraim and yirokas. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, lo yishanu, the halacha is only true, elo she'ein nitzan nikar, meaning this that we wait until even Tezvav Adar or Chol HaMoed, that's only if nothing sprouted earlier. Meaning the oilam was ready to go out even sooner. This was like the outside date. But for sure, if someone or some notified Bezdin that you should know there's certain fields where things are growing, then the chevru would come knocking on your door as soon as possible. It sounds like a little bit from the Mishnah that the Mishnah is not just saying you could go out on Chol HaMoed. It sounds like they actually used to go out on Chol HaMoed, as if this was the Zman. Right, Tezvav Adar was the Zman, Chol HaMoed was the Zman as well. So it sounds like we're actually going to delay it, we're going to procrastinate until Chol HaMoed, that's when we're going to go out. So Mar says, why? I'm Rav Yaakov, I'm Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yaakov said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Mishum Schar Pu'ula de Moizli Gabon. It's because labor was cheap then. And that's why they waited until then. Why is labor cheap? That's economics 101, supply and demand, because nobody's working Chol HaMoed. So if you want to get someone to come work, you're not going to have to pay him so much. And as a result, labor was cheap, so it's interesting. Not only are we like Bidiyed doing Melacha on Chol HaMoed, they would actually push it off until Chol HaMoed, find someone that's a lot of work, obviously. Right now, everyone's a lot of work, Chol HaMoed. Let's say a Poyel Sheim Lamayoichal, you find someone that's able to work, you can get him and his service is a little bit cheaper, so it's a good way to do it. Amar Rav Zvid, Vitemir Rav Masharshia, so Rav Zvid, some Sri Rav Masharshia said, oh, Shmami, no, if that's the case, you can infer, you can take away something else from this whole sugya. Agav. You see from here, Shmamino, ki avina lu schar mitrumas halish ki avina lu, that when Bezdin used to send people out into the fields to uproot the kalayim, you know who used to pay for it? The Trumas Alishka used to pay for it. And therefore, we're sensitive to how much it's going to cost. Because because if you're going to tell me that the owner of the field is responsible to pay, who cares how much it's going to cost? Who asked you to plant Goliath? All of a sudden, we're not sitting here making a guy work on Chol HaMoed to save you a few shekels. We're going to wait until Chol HaMoed to save us a few shekels, not you. And as a result, Zokti Gemara, Shmamino, Shmamino, Tistayim, must be that the Trumas Halishka used to pay for it, and you have to be sensitive to Mamon Hektish, and therefore they used to purposely do it in this way. Zokti Gemara, Va'ad Kama. Okay. How much is considered Kalayim that if this Vada Kalayim would find it, they would tear it out? Zokti Gemara, Ka'isa Sheshaninu. It's the shir that we learned in a Mishnah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Aleph, and Mesechtes Kalayim, and that is Kol Sa, Shneyeshba, Roiva, any Sa. If you have a Sa size of field, and there's a roiva, Rashi says, a roiva hakav, which is 1/24 of a sa, top Rashi and Amid Beis, mi min acha, yemai, talach is, that's when they would rip it out. So what would they do? They would just tear it out. Is that true? I mean, that's what they used to do. They used to just tear out the kalayim. Right? So it sounds like. It sounds like they would go, and they would rip out the kalayim. Vatanya, we learned to the Brayse, skinu, they made it takonashim, mafkir, and kolosadakula. If they came and they found that your field had kalayim in it, you now lost the field. This is a great exhibit of Hefke Bezdin Hefke. They would literally take the field and they would mafke the field. So here it says Yemai, they would just pull it out. And here it says that they would be mafke. So which one is it? Someone says like, Kasha kan koitim takono, kan la'ach takono. There was a history, there was a genesis to this takono. There was a before, there was an after. And that's the way we understand this. The Tanya learned in a Braisa. Barishoino. It used to be, Hoya oikrin umaslichen lefne behemta. So in the early days, when this Vada Kalayim would come and they would go to a field and they would see that there was Kalayim there, so they would rip out the Kalayim and they would throw it to the behemoths, let the animals eat it. Balabatim smeichen, and the Balabatim were happy. Shtei simchas. This was mamish, it was a bechin of ma'arvin simcha besimcha. So you're coming up. Number one, they helped weed out the field, right? You helped me be koitzer. And this is, it's not just koitzer, it's nichosh, right? We know what nichosh with a kaf, not what a ches is, from learning daf gimel amad aleph. You're weeding it because you're pulling out this foreign substance. You know, at the end of the day, this is a foreign creature that's in my field. So you're pulling out this roiva hakav of zera miminacher. It's a bechina of weeding. So they were very happy, number one, you're weeding my field, and number two, you're feeding my animals. So that's great. They said you should rip it out, but don't give it to the animals, throw it on the road. They were still happy, not shtei simchas, one simcha, but it sounds like it was a big simcha in Echos. It was a simcha gedayla, shem and achshin, so they sang, because they were still weeding the field. So skinu, they made a third takana. This was literally version 3 of this takana. Shiu mafkirin kala sadakul. Then nobody was happy. Everyone was ungesetzt. And this already served the purpose that it was supposed to serve. So again, yoitzen afala kalayim. Ay, didn't they go out already on Shushan Purim? Yeah, something Shushan Purim. For other things, they used to wait until now. The Mishnah sounds like they pushed it off. They literally delayed until Chalamoy. The answer is yes. Why? Because labor was cheap. What did they do? So originally they would rip it out and just give it to the animals. Then they would rip it out and put it on the roads. It wasn't working. So finally they chop what they had to do. They had to exercise the right that we learned from Ezra Sofer, which is Hefker, Bezdin, Hefker. That was what they did. At that point, everything accomplished what it was supposed to accomplish. Zok the Mishnah Vayita. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Oymer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said. Now whenever you see Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov in a Mishnah, so you have to pause. Because Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, Chazal say, Mishnosoi was Kav Vinaki. What does that mean? Kav, just learned what a Roiva HaKav is. Kav is a very small amount. That there's not a lot of halachas of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. But at the same time, it's Naki. Every single thing that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said is mamish pure. It's Shemin Zayah Zach. And Chazal understood that to mean that whenever Eliezer ben Yaakov says something, halacha kamoisa. Now the truth is a big discussion, nachroinim, we have great bites on this, where the Mishnosei Shor Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Kavanoki is only in Mishnah, or it's even in a Braisa. There's a Kesef Mishnah, someone that says that it's only by a Mishnah. It's Mishnosei Shor Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Kavanoki, as opposed to when it comes to Braisa, is not. So if you have Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer in a Mishnah, so this is Mishnosei Shor Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, which is Kavanoki. So what did Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov say? He said, "Moishchen asamayim ilon leilon. You're allowed to take water and be moishchet, divert it from one tree to another tree inside a field. Ubavach lo yashke es kol asad. You just have to make sure that you don't water the entire field." Then he said, "Zroim shaloi shasul lefnei hamoed. Any zroim that didn't get watered before Cholamoid, like Yashkim Amoid, you're never allowed to water in a Cholamoid. Chum and Matir Mazavazah, Chum disagreed with everything. They said, number one, you're allowed to be Moshech Mayim, not just Me'ilam, Me'ilon, but you can be Moshech Mayim and you can literally water the entire field. Number two, even Zrom, Shaloi Shasul, Lefnei Amoid, even that, you're allowed to be Mashkit Amoid. Now, if Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Shita sounds familiar, it's because we had it. We had it very, very briefly, for a fleeting moment. It was a havamin of a Gemara on that Bezim and Ahav. And the Gemara shtelled it too in the context of the first halacha in the Mishnah. So let's just review for a second the first halacha in the Mishnah, because really the Gemara that we're about to learn is a continuation of my cotton that base. So the Mishnah said that even though you're not allowed to do malacha and cholamoy, but at the same time, mashkin beis hashlachim b'moy. You're allowed to be mashke beis hashlachim. Shvius as well. But let's start with Moed. You're allowed to be Mashka, a Beis HaShlochem, the Moed. The reason is, a Beis HaShlochem relies on human intervention in order for it to be watered. And if you're not going to water it, you're going to end up losing the crops. It's a Dover Aved, where there's a physical Hefzeh, not just Menias HaRevach. And as a result, Chazal allow you to do Malacha. Stating that, the Mishnah said, you can only do it from a Mayon. You can do it from a spring. Ben Sheyotze B'tchilo, Ben Sheloy Yotze B'tchilo. Even though there's a concern, maybe the walls are going to cave in and you're going to fix the walls, that we're not worried about. You just have to do it in a way where you're using a spring. But if you can use make sham and make kiloin, that involves already tircha, and it's for that reason, that's not something that you're going to be allowed to do. And really what we said is that you see from the Mishnah two things. Number one, you're allowed to do malacha if there's hefsid, but the hefsid has to be a tangible hefsid. If it's not a tangible hefsid, not. Number two, you see that even when there's a hefsid, you can't do terchiyaseh. We're going to focus on the first. The first thing the Mishnah said was, if there's a tangible hefsid, the halacha is what? The halacha is you're allowed to do malacha. How do you see that from the Mishnah, that the time the Mishnah holds there has to be a tangible hefsid? It's very simple. Not just the opening words of the Mishnah. Mashkin, beis, hashlochin. A beis hashlochin is a field that relies on irrigation. It's clear from the Mishnah that the only time you're allowed to be mashke is if it's a beis hashlochin. What would it be if it's a field that's able to sustain itself on rainwater? What would it be if it's not a beis hashlochin, but it's a beis habal? So it sounds like then it wouldn't be okay. Why? What do you mean? I'm incentivized to be mashke beis habal. I'll be mashke. The things are going to grow sooner. I'll get my money quicker. Maybe I'll make more money. So there's for sure a profit cheshbin in to be mashke. That's true. But you're not allowed to do malacha for profits. You're allowed to do malacha to make sure that you don't incur any losses. So that was really the halacha of the Mishnah. Mashkin beis hashlochin as opposed to a beis habal. The Gemara brought on the bottom of that beis amar aleph a brice. It's really a tesefta right here in the beginning of the Masechta, which brought three shittos atanon as relates to this halacha mashkin beis hashlochin. We had the shita of Rab Meir, we had the shita of Rab Yehuda, and we had the shita of Rab Elazar ben Azari. This introduction is negated the Gemara. The Gemara said that from all those shittos, Hamani, who's the tan of our Mishnah, it must be Rab Yehuda. Yehuda is the one that holds. He can be mashka beis hashlochim, but you can't be mashka a beis habal. One of the other two shittas mentioned in Tesefta was Rav Meir. What did Rav Meir hold? Rav Meir said, "Mayon hayoytze betchila mashkin mimenu afilu stay beis habal." A mashkin, that you're allowed to take a mayon and you're allowed to be mashka even a beis habal. That's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said only a beis hashlochim. Rav Meir holds even a beis habal. So we didn't spend so much time on Rav Meir. What is Rav Meir's shita in essence, if we think about it? Rav Meir holds you can't, not only are you allowed to be mashke beis hashlochin, even a beis habal. So what does that mean? You mean you could just be mashke anything? No, Rav Meir didn't say that. Rav Meir said you can be mashke beis habal. What would be the svar you should also be able to be mashke beis habal? Because Rav Meir holds that when Chazal allowed you to do malach on Chol HaMoed for Dover HaOvid doesn't mean necessarily hefsid, but Menias HaRevach is also considered a Dover HaOvid. So what we've spoken out in the introduction to every single daf so far in the beginning of Masechtas Maikon, which was the overwhelming topic of Maikon that base, that the definition of Dover HaOvid means you're going to lose as opposed to lose out, that's all true in the time of our Mishnah. But as it relates to Rav Meir Shita, he says you can even be mashke beis habal. Why? Not because you could just do whatever you want. It's not what he said. He just said that that's also considered Dover HaOvid. So the machloik is really Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, and that Tosefta is what the definition of Dover HaOvid is as well. So now coming back to our Mishnah, let's read the Mishnah again. So the Mishnah mentions a machloikis Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov and the Chachamim. A machloikis as it relates to watering fields. So again, Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov says, you're allowed to take water and you're allowed to divert it from one tree to another tree. Now, the Mishnah doesn't say anything about a beis habal, doesn't say anything about a beis hashlochim. Rashi and the beis amar aleph already said that Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov is talking even about a beis habal. Doesn't matter what kind of field it is. Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov held that if you're not going to water trees that need to be watered, you're taking water from one tree to another tree. It rained, right? Beis habal, it rained. So there's no shortage of water, but it's all under one tree. You need to divert it. And if you don't divert it, there's going to be a hefsid. And because there's going to be a hefsid, Rav Eliezer ben Yaakov holds, Dover HaOvid, where there's a physical financial loss, you're allowed to do malacha. This is not Terchi Yaseira. So therefore, you're allowed to go ahead and do it. Ubilvad shlo yashkes kol asada. But you just can't be mashke the whole field. You know why? Because if you're not going to be mashke the whole field, there won't be a hefsid. Now, will you lose that on profits? Yeah, you'll lose that on profits, but we don't care about that. And that's because Rabbi Lezman Yaakov holds like Rabbi Yehuda, he holds like the Tan of our Mishnah. The reason the Gemara brought Rabbi Lezman Yaakov on that Beis Amar Aleph was because the Gemara actually had a raya from Rabbi Lezman Yaakov that he's consistent with the first of the two Chedushim in the Mishnah. The only reason the Gemara knocked it out was because the Mishnah said two Chedushim. Number one, Hefsid, and number two, Terchi Yaseir, and we said you don't see anything about Terchi Yaseir from Blezman Yaakov. But essentially, Blezman Yaakov is the halacha of the Mishnah, and that's exactly what he's saying. So to be Moshech Maim Ilan Le'ilan, that's necessary. That's going to be a Hefsid that you're allowed to do. To be Mashke Kol Asada, you don't have to. You don't have to stop watering every single crevice in the field. Now, would it be profitable if you did? Yeah, but we don't care about your profits, says Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. And even that, Zrom Shloi Shosu Lefnei Amoyed, Layashkim Amoyed. If you have Zrom that weren't watered yet before before the Moed, you're not allowed to be mashkin on the Moed itself. You know why? Because the only time there'll be a financial loss if you don't water it is if you started watering and now you stop. Now already, for whatever reason, this is the way it works in Hilchas agriculture. That once you start and you stop, that's when it's an issue. But if you never watered it beforehand, you don't have to worry about it. What do the Chachamim say? The Chachamim atirim b'zeh b'zeh. Chachamim say, no, I don't care. Be mashkin the whole field. And I don't care if you started watering it before. Either way, it's okay. It's up to Hilge Rashi. You want to know who the Chachamim is? It's Rameyer. The Omar Le'ilda, Beis Amin Aleph, Mashkim Imenu, Afilu Stei Beis Sabal. And what's the Yisoid of Rameyer? It's like we just explained. Rameyer says, as long as you're going to make a few dollars doing this, go ahead and do it. As long as it's not Terchi Yisera, Gzuntehe. Do it, even on Chalamoitzim, Chusyontif, it's something that you're allowed to do. So the Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov is really the Tan of our Mishnah. Who, Hamani, Rabbi Yehuda, with the Gemara already in the basic knowledge that the first Chiddush of the Mishnah, that there's a difference between Beis HaShloch and Beis HaBal is Rebbe Elazar. It's first. This is what Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov is saying. The Chacham that argue is Rameyu in the Tesef on that basis. And I'll just, again, Poshib Shad in the Gemara, no raid, Poshib Shad in the Gemara. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Hoysa Sodem Mitunenes, Mutter. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said that you're not allowed to water the whole field, right? You can only water but if you want to go ahead and water the whole field, that's not something you're allowed to do. Stating that, Rabbi Yehuda said there's a time where even according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, you'd be able to water the whole field, and that is if the field itself was mitunenes. So mitunenes means, Rashi, it was lecha, it was moist, viofsha, and now it dried out. So then there's a hefsid if you're not going to water it, and again, that's the svara, zehaklal. If there's hefsid, then you can do it. If there's no hefsid, you can't do it. In that case, it's going to be more. Tanya nami hachit and mafurush b'raisa. Because Amru asal lashkoisim b'moyd. Where Reb Elazar ben Yaakov said that you're not allowed to be mashke the whole field. Yomer elab zram shloishasim lifnei amoyd. Avos zram shloishasim lifnei amoyd mutal lashkoisim b'moyd. Right? There are times where if it was zram that were already shasu b'moyd, meaning if it started being watered before and now you're not going to water it, there's going to be a hefset, then it would be okay. Then Moses saw the mitunenes motor, and the Brisa says mafurish this halacha. If the sada was mitunenes, then the halacha is that it's going to be okay. The in mashkin sada grid b'moyed. If you have a dry field, you're not allowed to be mashkin amoyed. The chacham matirim b'zeh b'zeh. The chacham again is Rameyer, and Rameyer holds that as long as you're making money, as long as there's some profits involved here, this is something that you're allowed to do. Amar Ravina, Ravina said shma mina. Now, does machlokes Rashi Tosfos what this means? We're going to learn with Rashi. Rashi says shma mina that according to the chachamim, shma mina according to Rameyer, hay tarbitzo shari le tarbutze b'chila demoyada. That if you have a garden and you want to water the garden on Chol HaMoed, it's something that you're allowed to do. That according to the Chachamim that allow you to do what they say you're allowed to do in the Mishnah and the Berei, so if you have a garden that you want a garden, that's something you'd be allowed to do. Just Agav, Rashi says that what's the difference between the word Marbitzim and the word Mashkin? So Mashkin, Rashi says, is when you're putting a lot of water. Laharbitz, Tarbitza, Shari Litarbutze is when it's a little bit of water. So a field, you would be mashka, mashkin beis hashloch and mashkin beis abal. If you have a garden, it would be a little less water, so therefore it would be tarbitza. But either way, how do you know? That kasa the garid my time. Why does Rameir allow you to water a dry field, meaning a field that there's no hefsid if you're not going to water? It's the afla mashvi lacharfa, because you're going to make money. Things that would be afla, things that would grow later, are now going to be charfi. Now they're going to end up growing earlier. Hachanami, here too, afla mashvi lacharfa, here you have the same thing, and it's for that reason it's going to be okay. The reason Tosfos argues with Rashi is because in the Mishnah, it's a machlokes Reb Elazar ben Yaakov and the Chachamim. Ravina said, Shma Mina. It sounds like he's paskening la halacha. Shma Mina based on the Chachamim. There's no way we pasken like the Chachamim. So he says, how do I know that? Top line. The Kosha, Kaimala, Mishnah, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, Kavanaki. So we know for sure we don't pasken that way. So how could the Shma Mina of Ravina be in the Shittas HaChachamim? We for sure don't pasken like the Chachamim because Mishnah Reb Elazar ben Yaakov is Kavanaki. That's Tosfos Kasha. He's like, Tana Rabbanon, Marbitzin stay love and b'shvias. You let it be Marbitz. So we know what Marbitz means. You let a water a stay love on Shmita, Avaloi ben Moed. But you can't do it on Chol HaMoed. Faith Gemara, Tanya Berlin, Tana Brais. So Marbitzin, you let it water a Ben Moed, Ben b'shvias. You can do it on Moed and you could do it on Shvias. Again, we have a Machloikis. Could you water the field on Moed, or could you not water it on Moed? Everyone agrees you could do it on Shvias. The question is, could you do it on Moed? On the Ravuna like Kasha, or Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, or Rabban, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov is not going to allow you to do it because there's no hefsid. Whereas the Rabban and are going to allow you to do it. Rabbi Yeshita, as long as you're making money, it's going to be okay. Tanya idach marbitzin stay love on erev Shvias. You let it be marbitz a stay levon a stay love on. You let it water it not only on Shvias, if erev Shvias kedeshiyetsu yirakas b'shvias, so that yirakas are going to grow on Shvias. V'leoyd elosh marbitzin stay love on b'shvias. You let it water on Shvias kedeshiyetsu yirakas b'shvias. Tzoy Shvias, to make something grow after Shvias. Start the next Mishnah. You're let a trap. So again, we're talking about doing malacha on Chol HaMoed. One of the malachas, one of the lametes malachas is tzad. Now let it trap animals. So could you trap animals on Chol HaMoed? That's the topic. Tzadin esol ishus, you let it trap an ishus. The Gemara will say what that means. Vesma achbarim, and an achbar, a mouse. Misteho ilan, from a field that has trees, or misteho lovan, or from a field that has grain. Kindarkoi, and you could do it in the regular way. You don't need any shinui, and you could do it b'moyed on Chol HaMoed, u'b'shvius, and on Shmit. If you're trapping it from a stainless, you could do it in the regular way without a shinui. Mistei halavim, if you're doing it from a field with grain, shaloi gedarka, then already you have to macha shinui. U'mekorin apirtz, es apirtz b'moyed. If you have a fence and it was breached, right, there's a breach, so you let it fix the breach, and on Shemitah, not only could you fix, you could even build a gate and a fence around your field. So the Gemara starts off, my issues, what is this? I'm Rav Yehuda, not Bere, it's a creature, she'ein lo einayim, that doesn't have eyes. Rashi adds, v'choyfer bekarka. It digs in the ground. Amar Rav bar Shmuel, v'temir Rav Yemer bar Shlami, Mikro, is the makar to this creature in a pasuk? Yeah. Tehillim perik nunches, k'moy shablul temes yehaloich nefel eishes bal chazu shamesh. The punchline is eishes, maybe not ishus, but eishes bal chazu shamesh. So it doesn't see the sun because it's a barrier she'en lo einayim. This discussion amongst the academics, what exactly this creature is, and does it mean that it literally has no einayim? Maybe you can't see the eyes, maybe it doesn't see so well, maybe the sun, bal chazu shemesh, is what affects its eyesight. Ayin sham tanu rabbanon, sodin es ha'ishus, vesu achbarim, mistei ha'lovon, u'mistei ha'ilon, kedarka. That's what the Mishnah said. Sodin es ha'ishus, vesu achbarim, mistei ha'ilon, u'mistei ha'lovon, kedarka. Mishnah just added, b'moyed u'b'shvias, u'machriven chayrin amolin. Additionally, if there's an anthole, you're allowed to destroy the anthole. Kate said, machriven, how do you do that? Shimon Gamliel said, maybe offer mechur zev, and oysel atay chur zev. What you do is, a little unconventional, but you take offer, dirt, from a whole different ant area, dirt that the ant's not going to be so familiar with, and you put it into the char, into the hole where these ants are. And what happens is, mysteriously, they kill each other. That's the way you get rid of an ant hole. So why does this happen? So again, it's a little bit unclear, but Rashi says, because they smell the offer, they don't smell it. I mean, they don't recognize it. Okay, therefore, so again, Rashi doesn't say, but it sounds like that it just throws them off. And as a result, they start getting all nervous, and they end up choking each other. You have to read the fine print before you do this. Number one, you have to make sure that the offer that you're bringing is not just from another area. It's literally from an andere shtot, from a different medina. It has to be on the other side of a nahar, right? Trei avin de nahara is the halach in lifnei iva lo yisite michshol. It has to be literally trei avin de nahara. Fudalek a gishra, and even then you have to make sure there's no bridge. Fudalek a gamla, or you just have to make sure that you don't have a board even. Rashi says it's like a bridge, but there's no way to get from point A to point B. Fudalek a mitzra, you don't even have a rope, but meaning, if there would be a way for the ants to have gone to that area, it might not work, because they may recognize the smell, it's not going to intimidate them, and this whole plan is not going to work. And at Kama, how far away does it have to be? At Paris. It has to be at least a Paris away. One more Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda said, Misteo ilan kedarkoi, u'mistei halavon shaloi kedarkoi. So the Tana Kama, the Mishnah says, that you're allowed to trap kedarkoi, if you want. Doesn't matter if it's a stay ilan or it's a stay lavon. The Chachamim were a little bit makel, and they said that Rabbi Huda was machmer. He said, "Mistei ha ilon kedarkoi, u'mistei ha lovan it shaloi kedarkoi." Incidentally, the Mishnah said v'chachamim. The Gemara's girsa here is Rabbi Huda. Some changed the girsa in the Mishnah, not from chachamim to Rabbi Huda. So again, stay ha ilon, you could do it in the regular way. Stay ha lovan, you have to do it with a shina. Tan rabban ketsa kedarkoi. What's kedarkoi? What would be a way of trapping kedarkoi? Chayfer guma, you would dig a ditch. V'taylo b'metzuda, old school. Mamish kedarka. You put a trap in the ditch. This animal, the achbar or the ishus, is going to go there. He's going to fall into the trap. Done. Ketzat shalai kedarka. What's an unconventional way? Noyet shfud. You take a shfud, that's a spit. You stick it into the ground. Umaka bekurdem umarda. And then you start clapping on top of it with a hammer. And then you're going to kill anything that's underneath it. Merado adam mitachtea, right? You end up thinning out the adama that's underneath it. Eventually, you're going to kill it. When we said that stay lovan, you have to do with a shina lo yomer elab stay loven asmuch leir. That's only if the stay loven is next to the city. Avol stay loven asmuch le stay ilam. But if the stay loven is next to the stay ilam, afilu gedark, then you could do it even gedark without a shinoi. Shema yetsu mistay haloven viachriva stay ilanus. Because then the stay loven takes on the din of a stay ilan. It gets the cool of a stay ilan. And just like by a stay ilan itself, you'd be allowed to do it even without a shinoi. So too, in this case, the stay loven, you'd be allowed to do it even without a shinoi.